Football on Off the Ball.
In association with the faster than ever Boyle Sports app, with hundreds of pre-live and in-play football markets. Download it now. Boyle Sports. Time to play.
All right, it's 7:30 on a Thursday night, and that can only mean one thing. John Giles, good evening to you.
Evening, Adrian.
Delighted to have you in studio this evening. It's a busy all day of events, and I'll try and recap them as best I can.
Yeah, yeah.
We've some Champions League to get to, and we'll do that in just a few minutes. And I do want to let our viewers and listeners know as well that you can get in touch with John as much as you want. Get your texts in on 53106 or send in your tweets or Facebook messages or YouTube or whatever else it is, whichever way you want to get in touch with us. Keep the messages coming in. So we're with John between now and 8 o'clock. So events of the day, John, were essentially that Martin O'Neill was obviously before the media today to announce his squad for the upcoming games. And clearly, as is his wont at the minute, he gets asked by the attending media whether Declan Rice has made up his mind or not, and he says he hasn't, but I've spoken to him and I've spoken to his family and I'm hopeful. So that's the first instance. And then shortly after that, as he departs to do another section of the media, Sky Sports run a line on Sky Sports News saying that Declan Rice has essentially chosen England. So Martin O'Neill then emerges from those media duties to back into another media scrum, and he's asked at that stage again, look, these are the latest developments, what's your take on that? And in the meantime, again, Sky Sports have now almost rode back on their initial point about him actually choosing England to say that he had now favoured England. And Martin O'Neill says, well, my stance is still the same. I still think that he's, from the conversations I'd had with him, I'm hopeful, is the word that Martin O'Neill has repeated several times today about the possibility that Declan Rice will come and play for Ireland. And in the meantime, again, Declan Rice himself has been on Twitter, where the FAI have tweeted to say that they've quoted Martin O'Neill saying he's hopeful that he'll come back. And Declan Rice has liked that tweet. And then at some point after that, he's unliked the tweet. So that's events of the day. Is it almost a case that the longer this goes on, the worse it looks for us in terms of his possibility that he'll come back?
I think so, Adrian. It's very difficult for a lad, he's only 19, to make a decision. It's like, you know, loyalty over commerce in many ways. I'd say a lot of people would be saying to him that, like, for his future in football, from the commercial side, that he would be better going with England. And I think there's no doubt about that. But, like, when you're a young fella like he is and a player, like, I know from my own self, you're very innocent in many ways. I mean, I had no choice. I wanted to play for Ireland. I was brought up in Reardon in Dublin. And if I'd had an offer to go to England, there's no way I would have done it because that's what I wanted to do. But in young Rice's case, he's brought up in England. He's got a lot, obviously, English influences. Whether West Ham was his team that he went to every week, or certainly one of the London clubs. That's who he'd want to play for. And it's very, very difficult to put yourself in his shoes, where he's been brought up in England, his pals will be England, he might have at some stage wanted to play for England, and he would have the Irish connection through his parents, and that would be a huge influence on him. And when he did play for Ireland in the three matches, he really, really enjoyed it, which is quite right. Then the commerce comes into it, there's no doubt, because there's no doubt his agent, he probably has an agent now, that would say, look, although you want to do that, but for the commercial side of it, you're much better playing for England than you are for the Republic of Ireland. And I know from my own experience, I mean, I played Port Arthur, it was 59 matches for Ireland, and people in Leeds or wherever I was playing didn't even know I was playing.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So in the commercial side, or wanting to make a name for yourself, there's no doubt playing for England is the highlight. Mm. I mean, the likes of Martin Peters and Jeff Hurst, for example, playing at West Ham team, who were the middle of the table team playing in the World Cup, and they were names, huge name straight away, quite rightly, because that's what they did. So in young Rice's case, I think if he plays for Ireland, he will definitely suffer from a commercial point of view, and his agent will be pressing him. I'd say West Ham would be pressing him, because if he qualifies for England rather than Ireland, he's going to be much more profitable on the transfer market if it comes to a transfer. So there's a lot of things going on in the young fella's head, and he's only 19, so he has to be given time. We don't know what the influences are, Adrian, but it's very, very difficult for lads who were brought up in England, like he has been of Irish parents, to say, well, I'm definitely committed to Ireland. And yeah. I don't think it looks good for us, to be quite honest, because it's been going on for quite a while now. And he did play three matches for Ireland and he really enjoyed it. And like, if you play three matches for Ireland, you really enjoy it, then there shouldn't be any controversy as well, who you're going to pick for. So I'd say there'll be a lot of influences around him that would make it very, very difficult for him. But I wouldn't be hopeful, to be quite honest, Adrian.
Yeah, and I think that we're sort of following that ebb and flow. And as you say, there's obviously that, I'm assuming, dangling of cash from the agent. But you are sympathetic, it sounds, to a guy who's, the complexity of nationality in 2018 can be, it isn't a black and white area.
No.
It sounds like you're very sympathetic to that.
I would be very sympathetic to her. He's only 19. And like as a parent, I would say, look, you've got to do what's best for the lad. You know, like he played for us and he enjoyed it, but you've got to do what's best for his future. I mean, for example, if he plays for Ireland, and I'm doing this in a very, very casual way, but he plays for Ireland and he gets a very bad injury, for example, right? And he can't play again, for example. Like, he'd be forgotten in 6 months in Ireland.
That's
you're
right.
Same for England, but you know, I'm talking about the national interest, and we all would love to see young Rice play for Ireland. I think he's a terrific player. He'd be a huge asset to us. But he's got his life to live, Adrian, and he's got to do what's best for himself, as anybody would. I mean, if you got the highest critic in Ireland who's saying, this is terrible, this is that, and you say to them, well, okay, what would you do? You know, if you put it to somebody, well, what would you do if you were in the same situation? Like, because like lads who are going on like that now, it doesn't cost them anything. Oh, he should be playing for Ireland and he should be doing this and he should be doing that. But if you said, right, is your young fella, what way would you advise him if he has a choice? You know, it's very, very difficult. I've had a lot of sympathy for him. He's only 19 and there's a lot of pressure on him to make up his mind of what he's going to do. But by my take would be, you have to do, and his parents have to do, and the people around him have to do what he thinks is best for him.
There's a little bit of a tug of war obviously going on in the background. I mean, Gareth Southgate is obviously a man of much humility and I'm sure charismatic in his own right as well. I would like to have Martin O'Neill in my corner, I have to say. He uses charisma. He's been around the game a long time. I can see him using his force of personality for the betterment of Ireland almost. It seems like that.
Well, that's his job, Adrian. No, he has to try to get as many players in as he possibly can. But what can he do? You know, he can only say to young Rice, look, we want you to play for us. That's the bottom line. But it's more complicated than that. And Southgate has a job to do as well. I mean, if I was Southgate, I'd move heaven and earth to get Rice to play. I think he's a terrific player. Can play at the back and play. He's a really, really top class player. So if I were Southgate, I'd be after him as much as Martin O'Neill would be after him.
The other point just on the squad, and if there's anything else jumping out at you from the squad today, feel free to go for it. But the other obviously news that's sort of been brushed under the carpet a small bit of is the return of Harry Arter. And yeah. I mean, again, I would offer the idea that maybe there's some credit in the bank there for O'Neill and Keane, that there was obviously a conflict and they moved past that. And there's some idea out there, and we haven't heard the full details of it yet, that Keane had made some sort of an apology to Harry Arter about it.
Well, so he should.
Yeah.
So he should. I mean, this is something that should never have happened, Adrian. You know, it's all right, you can say, a lot of people, well, they're making up for it, but this just never have happened. I mean, this was a player that was verbally abused by the assistant manager and refused to play or didn't want to be picked in the name in the next squad, which he didn't. And, you know, this is wrong and it should never have happened. And good luck to Arthur now and good luck to Martin O'Neill and Reichen if they get him back to play, because Martin O'Neill lost the player through that particular incident for the last we're not that well off for players to be losing players like Arthur over something that should never have happened in the first place.
But good to have him back, obviously, and in the context of Rice and all that sort of stuff, I know it'll get brushed under the carpet and all that, but look at he's back
it
in.
It shouldn't be brushed under the carpet. It should be what it is, and we've all know the details of what it was, and I think it's good for Arthur to come back. We need all the good players we can. We're not that well off for players. And if he's made up with Roy Keane, oh, so well and good.
Yeah.
But it should never get to that stage anyway.
Yeah. No, that's true. And a text in here just on that, as a final point on that, the big difference here is that Gareth Southgate is doing a comprehensive trawl for young, very talented players, all previous England managers, only focused on immediate requirements.
I don't think that's right either.
You're not having that?
Oh, no. I think all the English managers would have been aware of young players. I mean, I had a situation myself where a lad played for Villa at my time as an Irish lad, and I met his father and he said, oh, we'll do anything for the old country. I said, well, let him play for us, but he didn't.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. So it's always gone on. I mean, to be honest, Adrian, it's only common sense. If you were an English manager and you saw a player like Rice, no matter what era you were in, You'd want him.
Of course you would.
No, I mean, you can't have too many good players. Yeah. And then it becomes a situation where the player would go back on it again, makes up his own mind what he wants to do. But if I were England manager, I'd be chasing him. Or any outstanding young player. Mm. Definitely.
Yeah.
That's the way of the world today, as you know. Like, young Royce has played 3 matches for us. Mm. Like, in my time, he would have qualified.
That was it, you were done, yeah.
You know, if you played in one friendly match, you would. Now it's changed. I mean, the players have loads of options. You played 3 matches, can you go to somebody else? Can you go to somebody else? That's the way of the world.
We'll see how that pans out over the next, hopefully not that long, next little while. Champions League, John, obviously Liverpool was the first port of call I wanted to get to. A late goal last night, lose out to Napoli. Lots of conversation, it strikes me, pre-season about which competition that Liverpool should target. Should it be the Champions League? Should it be the Premier League? And the evidence of last night in isolation, I mean, it doesn't look like they'll be competing for either.
Well, that was last night, Adrian. I mean, to be honest now, they made a really good start to the season. So you don't become a great side overnight. You don't become a bad side overnight. They didn't play well. I didn't see all the match. I saw the highlights. And Napoli seemed to be by far the better team. They had some great chances. Liverpool never. It was a bad night for Liverpool, but that can happen. You know, they're in the early stages that they could still qualify for the next round.
Yeah.
Now whether that's good for them or not remains to be seen. You know, if you have a big enough squad, then I don't think you can target any particular competition. I mean, when you're in the Champions League. When you're in the Premiership, everybody wants to qualify for the Champions League. And when you get in the Champions League, it's no good saying, well, we're going to target the Premier. You just have to, take the matches as they come. Mm. I mean, don't forget, they got to the final last year.
Yeah.
In the Champions League. Yeah. And apart from the goalkeeper, might have won it. It's a different year this year. They've got a better chance of winning the Premiership this year than they had last year.
So your view is that last night was an outlier as opposed to any signifier to some greater malaise?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, they're going to play them again in Liverpool, in whatever it is, 2 or 3 Denver, weeks' time. Yeah. We could be telling a different story altogether. But they certainly didn't play well. Napoli, from what I saw of the game and heard about the game, deserved to win it.
Yeah. Few texts in on Liverpool, needless to say. A lot of Liverpool fans out there. Aidan O'Keefe is watching on Facebook Live. Good evening to you, Aidan. What does John think of Liverpool's play in general so far this season? I believe they're nowhere near their best.
Well, they've played very well in a lot of the matches. They've been very, very good. They've tightened up at the back. They've got a good goalkeeper now. The defence is a lot better. Whether they can compete at the highest level remains to be seen. I don't think they have the creative qualities in the middle of the field that some of the Napoli had, for example, and other teams that we've seen in this week. And it struck me, to be quite honest, Adrian, that even Valencia against Manchester United controlled the game in a way in the middle of the field that Manchester United couldn't. So there's definitely a lack of creative midfield players in the Premiership. Valencia are an ordinary team in Spain, are supposed to be. Totally outplayed Manchester United in the middle of the field. And then when you come to Barcelona, which is another situation where there was, their midfield is well known. Busquets, Rakitic, Coutinho is in there. And also they had a player in there, Arthur. Did you watch the match?
Yeah, I watched a good bit of it, yeah.
Like, this guy is a real player. Yeah. Now, he didn't play for Brazil. He's only 21, 22. And he's the best midfielder, I think, that's come into the Premiership this year. Mm. So whatever it was, it's Spain or Italy in that. I think they're concentrating more on creative players in the middle of the field more than the Premiership. Mm. And it showed, Valencia played, in my opinion, played Manchester United totally in the middle of the field. They didn't look like scoring that many goals. But in the middle of the field, they controlled the game. I think obviously Barcelona did as well, which wouldn't be such a big surprise. But this lad Arthur, who's a new guy, they bought him for whatever it was, 31 million. Mm. He's definitely the best of the Brazilian players.
Right, okay. Hmm? Right, yeah, okay.
You know? I think there's something lacking in the Premiership in creative midfield players. Look at Liverpool, for example. Mm. You know, they've got good players. There's Henderson and Milner, Wijnaldum, are good at what they do, but you couldn't call any of them a really, really creative player.
No, that's true. It's a fair point. We'll come to, I know, and a touch on Barcelona as well in a little bit. Another texter here from TJ and Yall wondering if you'd rest Salah. I mean, the City obviously upcoming at the weekend, Liverpool, which is going to be a pretty huge test for them. The suggestion, I presume, is that he's a bit leggy looking or he's not doing his business at the minute, and whether you might sit him out for a couple of games?
I don't think he's doing the business like he did last year.
Yeah, tough benchmark though.
But it's hard to continue in that form, and every player would feel the pressure on that. I mean, he has scored 3 or 4 goals this year.
Yeah.
But it's being compared to what he did last year. And also when players are only human, so he's coming into the season and he knows the expectancy to do as well as he did last year and maybe better. Mm. Of course, there's pressure on him. But I wouldn't leave him out, Adrian.
Yeah.
I'd still play him because he only needs a goal or two and that's back. You know, confidence is a very, very thing to say, well, what is it? What is the confidence? You know, because he's missed a couple of chances. He hasn't played as well. But it doesn't mean he's not going to play well. Yeah. I would stick with him and play because he only has scored a good goal, one good goal in the first 5 minutes, and you've got a different player altogether. Yeah, yeah, it's like the golfers.
You see
them one, oh, this fella's draining.
But that's
sport and that's life and that's the sport generally. Yeah. I wouldn't rest him at all. He hasn't played as well as, and he hasn't scored the goals as well as he did last year.
Yeah.
But he was absolutely outstanding last year.
Mm.
So, but you don't lose that.
No.
And if you're losing it, it's on a temporary basis.
Yeah.
But if you lose him out, Adrian, if you leave him out, then he's suffering even more.
Yeah.
Because the man, I was surprised at Klopp taking him off in the 2 matches.
Mm.
I wouldn't have taken him. Well, I'm not managing Liverpool. I wouldn't have taken him off.
Mm.
I would have lived with him.
Yeah.
And said, because I believe in you. Because once you take him off, you saw him coming off in the matches. Mm. It's humiliation.
Yeah.
No player likes to be taken off. I've seen them all coming off. Nobody like. I know as an ex-player. Nobody likes to be taken off. I wouldn't have taken Salah off.
Mm.
I would have said to him, no, I live with you. I know what you can do. I can believe in you.
Yeah.
You see him coming off, he's dejected and he said, oh God, I'm not playing as well. That's all confidence. And players are human. And players are very, very, can be very fragile mentally, Adrian. You know, they might look cocky and that, but it's a very, very fragile situation where you're playing really well and you take it for granted and then you're not playing so well. That's when you need the manager and players around you to really back you up.
Yeah.
And I'd stick with him, definitely. Well, it wasn't a fluke what he did last year.
No, and he'll come good.
He'll definitely come good.
Right, lots more to come from John. We're going to talk, we mentioned Barcelona, obviously Spurs, we're going to talk City, we're going to talk United as well, and all of that is to come after these.
Football on Off The Ball. In association with the faster than ever Boyle Sports app for exclusive price enhancements on the biggest games around. Download it now. Boyle Sports. Time to play.
All right, Salzburg have beaten Celtic by 3-1. That's gone full-time there. Carabag beaten at home by Arsenal by 3-0. And Chelsea kicking off against VD in the next few minutes. And obviously we're going to keep you right up to date with all the night's European football across the next hour. And as we mentioned a bit earlier on as well, from 9 to 10 of the football show with Dan and Gary Breen, all in association with offtheball.com/Boylesports. Now, we mentioned we want to talk about some of the other teams, John. I mean, we might jump in with Manchester United. I mean, I know Jose Mourinho is a hot enough topic with you, and your points on him have been well made and well known as well. I do wonder how long more you think this thing limps on with him.
Well, it can't go on too long, Adrian. I mean, the club have an obligation and the CEO has an obligation to do something about it. You know, they've got to come down on one side or the other. This has been going on too long. And I think Mourinho is under more threat than any of the others. Mm. I mean, he's made an enemy of Pogba, as we know. He's made an enemy of Woodward. So that's on the trio.
Mm.
There's definitely two against one in that particular way. That's the way.
Do they get that done sooner rather than later at this stage? Looks inevitable, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, if it's inevitable, you have to do it. Yeah. You know, it's all points. Matches go by, and if obviously the winning match is not going to happen, but they haven't been winning matches. It doesn't look like it can be put right. You'd have to do it straight away, you know, because the season goes by. You're still in the Champions League, and it costs money.
Mm.
If you hang on to it and it doesn't get better, every match is you go further and further behind, and you're losing more and more money.
And there's no possibility he pulls this back now.
Well, there's always a possibility. I mean, in football, we've seen stranger things before. But looking back on Mourinho's record, I wouldn't put money on it, because once it goes bad for him, it goes really bad. And I think at the moment, it's very bad.
Can I ask you? They're obviously 7 games into the Premier League. They're 9 points back already from the 2 teams at the top, which is an incredible gap at this stage. If there was another manager there with that group of players, would they be further up the table at this stage?
Well, nobody knows that, Adrian. Nobody knows that. But you would expect, coming into his third year in the club, that they should be doing better than they're doing. You see, when you look at any manager, judging any manager, is he making the most of the players that he's got at his disposal? And you'd have to say at Old Trafford, no, he's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be winning the league, but is he doing the best he can with the ball? And the fans are not happy, the players are not happy. And it's like a replay for what happens with Mourinho. He's been a great football man, there's no doubt about that. But it happened to Chelsea, happened to Real Madrid, happened to Chelsea again. I think what happens with Mourinho, when the team is going well, no problem, Adrian. Mm. But when it goes bad, I think he hits out. And when he hits out, like Ferguson used to hit out in the privacy of the dressing room. Mm. Mourinho does it publicly. And I know from my experience as a player, no player likes to be humiliated publicly. I don't care who it is. Mm. You can do it in the dressing room, you can do what you like, have it out, do what... But once it happens, and that's what Mourinho's policy has always been, I'm going to do it publicly.
Yeah.
Last year, humiliated Pogba publicly.
Yeah, Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw, the centre of Smalling. Rashford.
Yeah.
All of these players. Now, they don't forget that. You know what I mean? When it happens to your public like that, you don't suddenly make up and, or in Pogba's case, he humiliated him last year, goes up, has a good world, comes back a hero, and he makes him vice captain or whatever it is. Pogba doesn't forget about what happened last year. And Pogba has an ego about himself as well, and is a very powerful player. And I think what's happened is that Mourinho said himself, no player can be bigger than the club.
Yeah.
Well, I think Pogba has become bigger than the club.
Yeah.
And it can't go on. But that's been Mourinho's style. Mm. Hit out, and it you don't get the players back again.
Yeah, one or the other. John, there was about half an hour of more stuff I wanted to get into you with, but we're beaten by the clock and lots of other texts and stuff coming in as well. But enjoyable as always. Thanks, Mourinho, for coming
in. Thanks very much, Adrian.
On a Thursday night on Off the Ball. And thanks, Mourinho, for all your texts and tweets and everything else that's coming in. As I mentioned, too many that we would have had time to get to tonight. But that's it from us. For the minute, plenty more coming your way after 8 o'clock. We're going to be deep in conversation with Jeff Perlman, who's the pretty prolific US sports writer, whose latest offering is a pretty interesting read. And there's a back catalogue of interesting reads, by the way, so that's coming your way. And also Neil Tracy's been down to Limerick to speak to a couple of those Limerick All-Ireland winners. That's coming your way.
Football on Off the Ball, brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.